Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Salt Lamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
There's nobody I'd rather talk to right now than Sam Dykstra because I want to know about a player. I want to know about a player who was in the news. Not Rafael Devers. Where were you when Rafael Devers was a prospect, Sam?
I was working for MILB.com. I remember covering him in a futures game, and he was on in a particularly loaded outfield or infield group back when it was the U.S. versus the world. So I've seen him rise through the ranks. And
did he turn out to be better, worse, or the same that he thought he would be?
I think the same. Which is a little crazy to say about a guy who's like a 2-time Silver Slugger, 3-time All-Star. You don't try to peg those expectations on prospects, but everybody thought the guy was always going to hit. It was just, what was he going to be defensively? And, you know, those
sure
are the conversations we're having to this day, right?
Sure enough. All right. Well, this, before we get to Jimmy Tibbs III, which is Sam is obviously, MLB Pipeline, the friend of the program, family member of the program, and we know it gives us a what's what when it comes to minor leaguers. In this case, one singular minor leaguer I want to talk about, but before we do that, let's keep playing this game. Kyle Harrison, is he what could be like the what, because he was, I think he was like the 19th overall prospect a little while ago.
Yeah, we always had good belief in Kyle Harrison that the fastball was going to play pretty well because it was pretty flat. I'm not going to say he had like ace-like potential. You're kind of seeing it come together this year. It's still his age 23 season, which is nuts to say. So there's still plenty of growth ahead of him. I'll be interested to see what Andrew Bailey and that group does. Like, do they take away the four-seamer and just be like, hey, let's work on some other pitches and really focus in on what you're better at? I don't think he's met expectations yet, but it's still early enough in his career, which is a little crazy to say for somebody who's now in his third major league season.
Do you think that, I mean, his first time as a starter was full time as last year?
Yeah, he got 7 starts in 2023 too, but like the first time up in the majors, fully graduated, was last year.
Yeah. So do you feel like, so what has been holding him back compared to what you thought he would be?
I mean, he's been somebody who's given up a lot of homers. I think it might just be a command issue. Somebody's hit, you know, putting it over the plate a little too much. Somebody needs to work a little bit more on the edges, because like the walks aren't bad, the strikeouts aren't bad. It's just gives up the gopher ball a good amount. What is it going to be like when he goes to Fenway compared to San Francisco, right? That's a tough adjustment for a pitcher. But like I said, maybe getting away a little bit more from that four seamer and working more on the secondaries, maybe that's something that, you know, allows him to work on the edges of that zone.
Well, all he'll have to know for now is what it's like to pitch in Worcester. Immediately sent to Triple A. So I would imagine that they're going to do exactly what you said, though. They're going to strip them down. They're going to say, okay, this is how we want you to pitch, and go from there. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. That brings us to Jimmy Tibbs III. FSU baseball alum, Florida State baseball alum.
Correct.
Yes. He was a first round pick last year, which is always intriguing. I believe 13th overall. And,
correct.
So when we're talking about this Devers trade, you know, there's the immediacy. It is crazy. I mean, the immediacy of the return is like, no, really? It's really the way that Jordan Hicks has been pitching. You can't expect anything from him. Kyle Harrison's already been sent to AAA, and our guy, James Tibbs, you know, he's in high A. I think he's being sent to AA. So
that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah. So give me with a what's what on this guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating, right? Like he's an FSU prospect, like you said. Another FSU guy last year was Cam Smith. Cam Smith opens the year in the majors in right field, which is what James Tibbs has now been playing exclusively all year. But Tibbs has been at high A Eugene all season so far. I get why they're moving him to double A. Since May 1st, I was looking this up before we started. He's been slugging 538, which is pretty good for the Northwest League. He's hit 10 homers in 36 games entering today. I think that was the second most in the Northwest League. So he was definitely somebody ready for the challenge. If you're looking at his batting average, no, it has not been great. But even going back to his FSU days, I talked to him before the draft last year, and he's always had a good approach. He's always honed in on the zone. One of the things he said was most difficult to swallow was taking a strike. If a strike's been there, he, as a freshman and as a sophomore, he was always swinging. He's like, that's what the strike zone is there for. I need to swing at strikes. Taking a strike, knowing that there are more drivable pitches coming for strike two and potentially strike three was a big adjustment for him. Last year as a junior, ended up being the ACC player of the year when it was a loaded conference last year. Not quite the SEC, but close, certainly. It's power over hit right now. We have it as above average power, average hit. It's going to be more OBP than average, again, because of that approach. He's not always going to be he might hit some fly balls that are going to be catchable, and he might hit some grounders that are going to be turning into outs as well. But like when he gets it, it's usually pretty hard contact. The thing for me that I find interesting is that he played a lot of right field, in Eugene, exclusively right field to begin this year. He also had left field and first base in his resume going back to college. The Red Sox outfield right now, I mean, we just had this conversation with Roman Anthony, is pretty loaded. Like he's now their number two outfield prospect in the minor leagues behind Jostinson Garcia. Do they start giving him some looks at first base? I know Blake
he must be. So how much did he play there in Florida State?
Let me double check the numbers on that. It was a decent amount, but he's not considered by any means. He's a below average runner. He's not considered a really gifted outfielder. He has the arm for right. He's probably going to be a better fit in left in Fenway just because right field is so much bigger. He played four games there in the Cape in 2023, 37 games there in 2023 as a sophomore. So it's abundant. It's not like a handful here and there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So when you look at, this is maybe an unfair question because you guys, re-ranking all the time, but you're re-ranking on the fly. If you look at where Tibbs might fall among the Red Sox top prospects, where would you put him?
So we put him right now at number six. Jim Callis did this. He does both our Giants list and our Red Sox list. So he's actually
perfect. There you go.
Very clued in. Yeah.
You're welcome.
And I found out about it. I'm like, none of my systems. This is great. I don't have to update anything. But he put him at number six. I mean, right now, there might be some guys like Peyton Tolley who would be ahead of him, but we can't do that quite yet until we do our midseason update in a few weeks. But yeah, like I said, he's the number two outfield prospect in the minor leagues for the Red Sox behind Garcia. I think that would remain. We're getting some top 100 consideration for Garcia right now. You could debate him versus Luis Perales, but he's not in that like Arias tier by any means.
Okay. So, overall, from your perspective, obviously when you look at this Devers trade, you have to start with the money, right? If you pay down on the contract, you're going to get better players. They don't, they prioritize having the Giants, pay the money. But for what they got, what is your take? What was your reaction to this? I'm curious because I know that you live in the world of minor leaguers, but like we talked about Harrison, you saw this guy come up. You are familiar with these guys. What was your overall guttural reaction to this?
I was shocked. I was just shocked. It feels like the Sox are going for a quantity here so that they can point to, hey, we got a bunch of guys for this contract.
I hate that.
When it's not great pieces. And Tibbs is, can end up being a top 100 guy, like maybe getting him with that Red Sox hitting group that has developed guys so well with bat speed, with power. Maybe he can make that jump, but he's not there right now. Kyle Harrison, like you said, has been stocked down compared to where he was 2 years ago as a prospect. Jordan Hicks isn't who he is. And the other, Bayo, the pitcher, is a complex league lottery ticket at best, who probably profiles as a reliever. So they're just pointing to, like, we got a bunch of guys, but really the big thing is we no longer have Devers' contract. Yeah. That's what they're saying in the front office right now.
What, if you had to power rank for you, forget about Bayo, like you said, low level guy, good for him. Good for him for being part of a trade. But if you have to prioritize, if you have to rank sort of the guys that you felt like was the guy that they're most excited about getting, and I could make a case for all three of these, Harrison, Hicks, and Tibbs. And the reason I say this, and people say, well, look at, Hicks is like ERA is horrific. He's been terrible. Harrison's in the minor leagues. I can make a case for all of these guys. Hicks, they love because they tried signing him. They thought they had signed him. And then they went to bed and they didn't sign him. So for you, like what player do you think they're most excited about?
I would be most excited by Harrison, I think, because there's the most to mold there still. You got somebody who has major league experience, who has seen that show, but it like took enough dings where he's willing to come to a new team and be like, do what you need to do to get me better, to make me better, to make me somebody who's going to stick in a rotation instead of make some spot starts here and there. And I think he still has a better upside than Tibbs does. Tibbs might end up being the better player. I mean, normally I would say take the guy who has everyday potential, and he has that, but it's corner outfield / first base. Like that, if he's going to end up being a first baseman, which very well might happen, he's going to need to hit. He's going to need to reproduce these numbers that he's doing in the minor leagues, not only at the upper levels, but at the major league someday. And that's still a big question mark. I mean, that's the reason why we don't have him in the top 100. It's like, how is this power going to play the higher he goes? And what happens when, he's facing better curveballs and better changeups because that's where he's been having the swing and miss issues to this point. So I think Harrison's kind of in that sweet spot where he's seen the majors. He knows what he needs to work on. He's going to come to the Red Sox with notes. They're going to have notes for him, and he ends up being a starter. Hicks isn't going to be a starter. So that knocks him down a peg for me.
So, you look at Tibbs, and I want my answer to be Tibbs. Like I want it because I kind of like,
sure. Yeah.
Like Harrison is what he's already got the taste. Hicks, we did a podcast with Jordan Hicks. I really enjoyed talking with him. And I hope he does well, but it's just been so striking how much he struggled this year. But I want Tibbs is like represents the what might be, which is what fans want. It's not going to take away from the frustration of the fans, from the Red Sox fans, because he's still a double A. But what's interesting to me is that, so Tibbs was drafted 13th overall, right? Correct?
Correct.
His teammate was drafted one pick later, Cam Smith.
Yeah.
His teammate is in the major leagues, and Tibbs is in double A.
Right.
Explain this to me.
It's fascinating, right? Like, and it's funny that both of those guys have been involved in trades.
Yeah.
Cam Smith went from the Cubs to the Astros because he got off to an incredible start last year with the Cubs, and was looking more athletic and it was clearly showing that the bat was going to play in pro ball. Tibbs, it's taken a little bit longer for that to happen. I think Cam Smith is a more athletic player. That's why the Astros felt comfortable moving him from third base to right field. Tibbs, we're talking about regressing defensively, right? He's going to have to move to first base because he can't cover a ton of ground on the grass, especially in Fenway Park. So I think that's kind of acting against him. Smith had so many things like below the hood that, if you're the Giants had their pick of Florida State guys and they went with Tibbs because I think the on base and the slug was good enough. And they were like, oh, well, see how this goes, just the bat. But Cam Smith was better overall package. And now the Astros are
reaping
benefits.
No, that makes sense. All right. Well, I'm not going to keep you any longer because you've already educated me more than I was educated like 10 minutes ago. So I appreciate you. This is a very emergency podcast. But in case of emergency, break glass and get the excellence of Sam Dykstra. fact.
I mean, if we're talking about this on June 15th, there's still a month and a half.
It's crazy, right?
What are we going to do? Yeah.
It's been I just did, 2 hours talking about this, and it's funny because people want to, they want to basically get angry one way or the other. It is such a complicated thing. Like this Devers thing is such a complicated thing.
Right.
It's and including, by the way, what they're getting back. But I do think this is that when we compare this trade to say, you're trading a superstar for X player for these group of players, this one there's no room for interpretation. This isn't trading Nomar Garciaparra for two players that are going to help you win a World Series. Harrison and Hicks might help at some point, maybe. But
right.
The motivation isn't like, oh, we get some guys that are going to help us win, which is, as he said, the middle of June for one of the best hitters in baseball is crazy.
And it's not like it's happening in the offseason where you'd be like, well, we just saved a bunch of money by shipping him out. Let's go spend that money right now and go get Alex Brett or whoever. That's the conversation that's going to happen in the offseason. It's fascinating.
I feel, Sam, this is what it is. If we want to break it down in a simplistic form as much as possible, the Red Sox, their relationship with Devers had gone out the window. Fine. It wasn't like we're shopping Devers around for the best package. My sense is like they shopped Devers around to the best ownership group that was willing to pay the money.
Yeah.
And
a GM now in Buster Posey, who's just like, hey, right. I'm here to win. I'm not here to play games. For
right. And, but he has to have the ownership group sign off on this.
Totally.
And once you do, they're like, okay, we got the team that's willing to pay the money. How can we pick through this to get some players that we want? And yeah, so I don't know, man. It's crazy, but I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You punctuated a crazy day in fine fashion. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.